بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Brothers, elders, ulama ikram, sisters listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every dimension of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is unique, and one of those unique dimensions is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to a group of people who were regarded by those who lived around them as asfal as-safilin, as the lowest of the low, to the degree that the two superpowers in the region, the Byzantines and the Persians, they didn't want to rule over the Arabs because of their unruly disposition. Now, the Persians and the Byzantines, these guys were hooked on conquering other people. But they didn't want to rule the Arabs because they knew that ruling these people would be a headache. And this was one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to these very people who were regarded as nobody, as a ghuffa, as the scum, a man who was unlettered, a Bedouin sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he transformed them to the degree that they became the best of people after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to walk on the surface of this earth. And it would be no exaggeration to say that many of the youngsters here could read better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and no disrespect. On the occasion of Sulul Hudaybiyah, on the behalf of the mushrikeen, they sent a man called Suhail ibn Amr to negotiate on their behalf. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dictating the letter to Ali radiallahu anhu, and he said, start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And Suhail ibn Amr said, what's this ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? We know no ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Cross it out. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, cross out the word ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then they finished the treaty, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Ali, seal it with the word Muhammad Rasulullah. And Suhail ibn Amr said, he said, oh Muhammad, if we had regarded you as Rasulullah, there wouldn't be an issue. Cross out the word Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, oh Ali, cross out the word Rasulullah. And Ali radiallahu anhu, for the first time in his life and the last time in his life, disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, they may not regard you as the Messenger of Allah, but I do. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the pen from the hand of Ali and he said, oh Ali, show me where it says Rasulullah. And Ali radiallahu anhu took the blessed hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he took it over the word Rasulullah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam crossed out the word Rasulullah. He couldn't read the word Rasulullah, but he managed to transform a group of people who became the best of people to walk on the face of this earth. Really, he transformed those people who had the most hideous and most heinous of actions. Imam Daribi rahmatullah alayhi mentions that the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he sat in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, in the days of Jahiliyyah before Islam, I had a daughter and this daughter loved me like any daughter loves her father. And one day I took her to the corner of the city and I began to dig a ditch. And seeing her father dig a ditch, she began to dig a ditch. And he said, then I began to perspire. And she began to wipe the perspiration off my head. And when I had dug the ditch, I took my own blood and I threw her into the ditch. And she was shouting, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. And I buried my own blood alive. And the narrator mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ cried so profusely that his beard became drenched with tears. Shaykh Abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that the same Sahabi was in the battlefield and he was critically wounded and his family brought him some water. And whilst he was about to place the water upon his lips, he heard the cry of another Muslim and he insisted that the water be given to the other Muslim. And they went and gave water to the other Muslim. When they came back, he had passed away. This was amazing. This was a transformation of a man who buried his own daughter alive and then gave his life for somebody else. Because this was what the Prophet ﷺ achieved. He transformed Umar ibn Khattab from Adu'ul Mu'mineen to Amirul Mu'mineen. He transformed Khalid ibn Walid from Adu'ullah into Saifullah. Because this was the nature, transformative nature of the Prophet ﷺ. He created men who were heavy in the scales of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never, and understand this, he was never concerned about big buildings. He was never concerned about bigger imaras and big buildings. He worked on the hearts of people. He worked on the hearts of people. Buildings were only created for necessity's sake. You look into the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the size of the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was 30 by 35 feet. And then after the Battle of Khaybar, it was extended by a few meters. 30 by 35 meters. There was no fancy carpet. There was no fancy carpet. The ceiling barely exceeded the heads of those who prayed within it. And the walls were made out of unbaked clay. But the men and the women which emanated from it were baked. They were baked. Until 8 Hijrah, there was not even a lantern in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu bought a lantern. But from this small dark masjid emanated a light which extinguished the darkness of kufr in half of the world. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam created men and women who changed the landscape of history. They became heavy in the scales of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that last night I saw a dream, and in my dream I saw Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was being weighed, and the entire ummah was being weighed, and Abu Bakr was heavier than the entire ummah. He said, then I saw Umar ibn Khattab being weighed, and the entire ummah being weighed, and Umar ibn Khattab was heavier than the entire ummah. Why were they heavy? Because they were heavy in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time will come that you will be ghuffa ka ghuffa is sail. You will be the scum of the earth. You will be like the froth on the water. And the Sahaba said, will we be few in number, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet ﷺ said, you will be large in number. Maybe he meant you will be over a billion in number. But the rest of humanity will regard you as the scum of the earth. Because you will be light in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And have you ever seen froth? Have you ever noticed the characteristics of froth? Because the words of Prophet ﷺ have deep meanings. See, the froth, if you ever analyze the froth has no direction. It goes with the flow, wherever the sea takes it, it goes. And and that sums up the Muslim ummah today. This ummah has no direction. It's torn by this philosophy and this ideology. It's torn between nationalism and tribalism. It's even been torn between religious sectarianism. You label somebody a Wahhabi, and it's game over. Wahhabi? He's a Wahhabi. You name a person a Sufi in some of the Arab countries, you know, it's game over. Seriously. Like if all Wahhabis are bad people. Like if all Sufis are bad people. You know, there's a story that in India, there was a Hindu shopkeeper. And the local imam would take, you know, stuff off him on credit. And the Hindu said, look, come on, please, you know, pay up, Maulana. He said, next week. And then next week came, he said, come on, Maulana. He said, next week and next week. And the Hindu said, Maulana, enough is enough. If you do not pay up, I am going to stop your credit. And Maulana said, yeah, is that what you're going to do? He said, yes. He said, you're going to regret it. And he said, do what you need to do. So come Friday, Maulana ascended the pulpit and he said, oh everybody, know that you must boycott that Hindu shopkeeper because that Hindu shopkeeper has become a Wahhabi. He's become a Wahhabi. And the next day the Hindu shopkeeper came up to Maulana, he said, please Maulana, forgive me, you can take whatever you want. And then the next week, Maulana ascended the pulpit, Jummah. And he said, alhamdulillah, glad tidings that the the Hindu shopkeeper who had become a Wahhabi has done tawbah and he's become a Sunni again. You know, that's enough. You know, when I was growing up, no exaggeration, I used to have a friend. He knew nothing about deen and I knew nothing about deen. But he used to have this swear. If you annoyed him, he had this swear. He would say, you know, and this was the worst swear that he had. He didn't know what it meant. But he would call you, he would say, Wabi kafir. Because he had heard this from his parents. And in other parts of the world, in the Gulf countries, it is enough to call somebody a Sufi to disparage him. You know, we're meant to be brothers. You know, there's always been a difference of opinion. Throughout history, there's been a difference of opinion. If Abu Bakr and Umar insisted on their opinion, then Islam would not have gone out past the boundaries of Medina. But there was an issue of tolerance because their brotherhood was the most important factor. So one of the characteristics of the ghuffa is that it has no direction. And the other characteristic of the ghuffa is that it's light. The froth is light. And you look at the state of the Muslim, your blood, your honor, your civil liberties, it's light. Nobody cares. You get butchered in all corners of the world. Why? Because you have become light in the scales of Allah. Why is it that the Prophet ﷺ said that Umar and Abu Bakr were heavier than in the entire Ummah? And then in another narration, he said that the entire Ummah will be light as the froth. What was the difference? Why were they so heavy? And why are me and you so light? Because their concern was the Akhirah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever makes his concern the Akhirah, then Allah will suffice him in all his other concerns. Amazing. Whoever makes his concern the hereafter, Allah will suffice him in all his concerns. And whoever makes his concern the dunya, then Allah will give him unto his concern. وَلَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهُ فِي أَيِّ وَادٍ يَمُوتٍ. And Allah doesn't care where he drops dead. Where he drops dead. He will give you to your concerns. And therefore understand, this ummah is not in need of numbers. One in every five people walking on the face of this earth is a Muslim. This ummah is not in need of numbers. It is in need of people of substance. Because it's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not look at numbers. He doesn't look at quantity. He looks at quality. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. On the battle of Yarmouk, the Muslims were how many? There were 40,000. And the Byzantines were 141,000. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was inspecting the Muslim rows. And he saw this young man. He saw the power and the grandeur of the Byzantines. And he said, how few are the Muslims? And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, don't say that. He said, don't say that. Say how many are the Muslims and how few are the Byzantines. For weakness comes from being forsaken by Allah. For weakness comes from being forsaken by Allah. And this is the thing. When the if you make Allah yours, if you make the one yours, you make everything yours. And if you lose Allah, you lose everything. You become light in the scales of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why it's important that this ummah again turns back to the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, become the slave. The optimum level that we can attain is become the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَبُّ الْأَسْمَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ Abdullah wa Abdurrahman. The most beloved names in the eyes of Allah are Abdullah and Abdurrahman because they denote servitude. And many of us have this habit, you know, it's almost na'udhu billah, like Allah is our servant. Like Allah is our servant. We lift our hands up and we want Allah to do this and we want Allah to do this. Since when did Allah become your slave and you become Allah? Allah is Samad, Allah is Razik, Khaliq. You have to fulfill the conditions, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many of the conditions have we fulfilled? If on the day of judgment, the mountain of Uhud was placed in one side of the scale, and the thin shins of Abdullah ibn Masud were placed in the other side of the scale, the thin shins would be heavier than the mountain of Uhud. Why? Because these thin shins were for the sake of Allah. These were for the sake of Allah. And you know, me and you came into this dunya. We didn't ask Allah to bring us into this dunya. Allah brought us wherever He wanted. We came into this dunya involuntarily. And me and you, we will leave this dunya involuntarily. You know, we won't say, wait on Allah. You know, we're going to send the application form. You know, I want to finish my college. I want my BMW. 7 Series and then I want to leave this dunya. Or I want to marry my youngest daughter off. I want to leave this dunya. No, it doesn't happen like that. You came into this dunya involuntarily. And you will leave this dunya involuntarily. So what makes you think that you have any right over the period between these two involuntary periods? You have no rights. You are the slaves of Allah. You are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the highest status that we can attain is become the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why it's important for this ummah, wallahi, you know, to make a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way we make a connection with Allah is we obey the commands. We follow the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a concern like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a concern. He was rahmatul lil alameen. You know, we need to start showing a bit of rahmah. Our people, our Muslims should see our khair. You know, some, and I say this, you know, some of the people, Muslims, you know, there's no character. You don't want to sit in their company for more than 5 minutes. And look at this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba mentioned that each one of us, when we would sit in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we felt that we were the closest, to the degree that Amr ibn al-As was sitting in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him so much affection, that Amr ibn al-As thought he was the closest man to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, tell me, am I better than Abu Bakr?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "No." Then he said, "Well, if it's not Abu Bakr, it must be Umar." He said, "Am I better than Umar?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "No." He said, "Am I better than Uthman?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "No." And Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said, "I regretted asking the Prophet ﷺ this question." But see, this was the affection that the Prophet ﷺ showed him. And we need to be people, you know, who are kind to our partners, kind to our families. You know, how you deal. You know, Khadija radiallahu anha mentioned the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She mentioned that there was never occasion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into the house but he had a smile upon his face. This was the Makkan period. This was the Makkan, the most difficult time in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then she mentioned upon occasion he entered the house and he had a worried expression. And I said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, is everything fine?" And she mentioned, "No sooner had I said this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around and he came back in the house with a smile upon his face." With a smile upon his face. These were the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He showed rahmah to the youngsters. You know, he showed rahmah. You know, the Arabs regarded it as a fault to kiss children and to show affection. Upon occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was kissing a child and there was a Bedouin there. And he said, "Oh Muhammad, oh Messenger of Allah, you kiss children?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes." He said, "Don't you kiss children?" He said, "No, I got 10 children. 10. They don't make them like they used to. Beside the Somalians. Allah yubarak feekum. You know, we were worried in England that the population, because they were saying in Birmingham by 2015, the majority of the children in primary schools will be, you know, Muslims. But then, you know, us, we become, you know, we begin to integrate, assimilate, and then from 6 children, they became 2. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Somalians. May Allah bless them. And he said, "Don't you kiss children?" And he said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, do you kiss children?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I got 10, I've never kissed a child." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Awa amliku lak? Awa amliku lak wa qad naza'a Allah rahmatan min qalbik?" He said, "Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything in this deen for you when Allah has removed rahmah from your heart? When you don't have mercy, you know, those who will not have mercy on people, Allah will not show them that day that they need mercy." And this is why the ulama say, "Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal." Allah will deal with you the way you deal with others. If you don't show mercy on people in this dunya, on the day of judgment when you will need mercy, Allah will not show you mercy. And you look at men like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar, narration some say weak. Some say that the narration is weak, but I'll mention it. But everybody agrees that Umar was harsh on women before Islam. To the degree, as I said, some say the narration is weak. That upon occasion, when Umar was Amirul Mu'mineen, they would see that he would laugh for no reason. And then he would cry for no apparent reason. And Umar was Umar. Nobody wanted to ask him. But then one day somebody plucked up the courage. And they said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, can we ask you something? Can we ask you something? And he said, yes, go on. He said, sometimes we see you laugh for no reason, apparent reason, and sometimes we see you cry for no reason. What's the reason for this? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, you know, in the days of Jahiliyyah, the Arabs believed that the most holiest of idols were those made out of the stones of Makkah. And we didn't have any idols which were made from the stone of Makkah, but we had Makkah dates. So what we did is we carved an idol out of the Makkah dates. Then our food finished, and we had nothing to eat. So then we began to dissect God. So we took off the ears of God and we ate them. And we took off the eyes of God and we began to eat them. And when I reflect on this stupidity, I begin to laugh. And the reason I cry for no reason is that in the days of Jahiliyyah, I had a daughter when she reached the age of 6. I took her and I began to dig a ditch. And I dug the ditch and I throwed my own blood into the ditch. And sometimes when I recall this, I begin to cry. I begin to cry. The same Umar ibn Khattab sat at the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the same Umar ibn Khattab, when he became Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was playing with a child and he was kissing it. And the man came, one of his governors, and he said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, you kiss children? And he said, yes. He said, why don't you kiss your children? He said, no, when I walk into my house, there is pin drop silence. Nobody moves. Even the fish stop swimming. That part is obviously my addition, my ijtihad. You know, nobody moves. And Umar radiallahu anhu removed him from his post as governor. And he said, it is not befitting for a Muslim to have a post amongst the believers who is harsh upon his family, who does not have rahmah upon his family. Upon occasion, a man came to complain to Umar ibn Khattab about his wife. And he knocked on the door and he heard Umar being scolded by his wife. His wife's telling him off, you know how it feels. You know how it feels. You've all been through it. All those of you married. You know, marriage is one of those things, and our sisters. There's this story that there was a wedding in a jungle of lions. And this mouse came. And they said, what are you doing here? This is a marriage of lions. He said, I also was a lion. He said, when? He said, before marriage. He said, before marriage, I was also a lion. Women will appreciate, and especially those women who are practicing. You know, many of us, we can walk down the street. Nobody knows we're Muslims, unless you look like me. And then everybody moves out of the way. You know, you got in the tube. MashaAllah, you think they're doing your ikram? Everybody leaves the carriage. Then, subhanAllah, even if only Muslim treated me like this. You get on the plane, and this is no exaggeration. You get on the plane, I travel quite a bit. Nowadays, I often get 2 seats to myself. And I say, subhanAllah, karam. You know, Allahu Akbar, I must be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he knocked on the door and Umar is being scolded by his wife. And he went, so he thought, no good here, let me go. And he's going away and Umar radiallahu anhu opened the door. And Umar said, why have you come? He said, oh, no reason, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, tell me, why have you come? He said, no reason. Umar radiallahu anhu a third time said, I ask you by Allah, what brought you here? And he said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, I came here to complain about my wife, but when I saw your situation, I thought I'm having it good. I'm having it good. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, shouldn't we be good to our women? Don't they cook for us? Don't they look after our children? Don't they look after our homes? And this is why this ummah is an ummah of rahmah. You know, by Allah, and if you can't be a rahim on your own children, on your own partners, then how are you going to be rahim on other people? How are you going to show rahmah to other people? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a group of people came to him, and I know I'm diverting from my topic, I've diverted long time ago. But a group of people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mawlana, tell me when my time's up. I like this crowd. A group of people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, there's a woman, tusumu wa tusalli. They identified it. She prays and she fasts, meaning she's practicing. She prays, she fasts. Well, but there's one thing, tu'dhi jaraha. She inconveniences her neighbor. She prays and she fasts. And as far as I know, the neighbor is not mentioned if the neighbor was Muslim or non-Muslim. And what did the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, hiya finnar. She is in the fire of Jahannam. This is a person who inconveniences their neighbor. What about that person? What about that husband? What about that wife who conveniences her partner? Inconveniences her partner. What will be her outcome? And therefore, my dear respected brothers, you know, finally I say, you know, when you work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you give your time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes society frowns upon you. Sometimes society looks down upon you. But this is being a believer. You know, your status is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may not have the big cars like other people because you are working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your status is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll finish here. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a sahabi called Sa'd al-Aswad al-Sulami radiallahu anhu. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, will I also enter into Jannah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of course you will enter into Jannah if you're a believer. He said, but me, I'm regarded as low amongst the believers. He said, oh Sa'd, for you is the same reward as everybody else. And then the Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, then why, Messenger of Allah, why will nobody give me their daughters? Why will nobody give me their daughter to marry? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go to, is Ibn Wahab here? And Ibn Wahab was one of the leaders of Medina. He was one of the leaders of Medina. And his daughter was known for her beauty. And he said, is Ibn Wahab here? And Ibn Wahab had just embraced Islam. And they said, he's home, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, O Sa'd, go home and tell Ibn Wahab that I have sent you to request his daughter's hand in marriage. And Sa'd went home to the house of Ibn Wahab. He was elated. He knocked on the door. And Ibn Wahab opened the door. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah has sent me to request your daughter's hand in marriage. And Ibn Wahab said, you, my daughter? Don't you know my daughter? She's known for her beauty in Medina. And he said, on your bike, go on. And when Sa'd was walking away, his daughter heard this. And she said, oh my father, wait, wait. This is a request of the Messenger of Allah. Where will we be if we turn down a request of the Messenger of Allah? You know, where will we be? Where will we be if we turn away from the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where will we be when we turn away from the concerns of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I'll tell you where we will be. We will be where we are. We will be where we are. And she said, where will we be if we turn away from the request of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then she turned to Sa'd and she said, Sa'd, go to the Messenger of Allah and tell him I'm ready to marry you. And Sa'd went to the Messenger of Allah and he was elated. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the nikah on 400 dirhams. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, 400 dirhams? Oh Messenger of Allah, I've never seen 400 dirhams. And the Messenger of Allah said, go to Ali, Abdurrahman, Ibn Auf and Uthman and tell each one of them to give you 200 dirhams each. And he went to him and they gave him 200 dirhams plus. And he's going to his wife and he thought, let me go to the marketplace and buy some goods, buy some presents for my wife, for my new beautiful wife. And he's in the marketplace and then all of a sudden he hears a call, Ya khaylallahi irkabi, Ya khaylallahi irkabi, fil jannati abshiri. The call of jihad came. And the narration mentioned that Sa'd stood wherever he was and he looked into the heavens and he said, oh Allah, I will buy with this wealth something which is pleasing unto thee. And he bought a horse and he bought a sword. And he went into the battlefield and he covered his face because he knew if the Messenger of Allah saw him, he would send him back. He would say, Sa'd, you just got married. And the Sahaba began to say, who is this man who has come into the battlefield with his face covered? And Ali radiallahu anhu said, leave him. He's come to fight, leave him. And then he went into the battle and his horse was struck and he fell off his horse. And the narration mentioned he stood up and he went like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his dark skin. And the Messenger of Allah said, he said, oh Sa'd, is that you? And he said, may my mother and my father be sacrificed for you, Messenger of Allah, it is Sa'd. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Sa'd, there is no other abode for you but Jannah. And Sa'd became elated and he jumped into the battlefield. And after a while there was a call, Usiba Sa'd, Usiba Sa'd. Sa'd has been martyred. And the narrations mention that the Prophet ﷺ ran into the battlefield. He ran into the battlefield and he took the head of Sa'd and he placed it on his blessed thigh. And the tears of the Prophet ﷺ were flowing and they were falling on the face of Sa'd. And the Prophet ﷺ was crying profusely. And after a while, the Prophet ﷺ began to smile. And then he turned turned away. And the Sahab, and there was a Sahabi called Abu Lubab ibn Munzir. And he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I seen you do something today I've never seen you do before." And the Messenger of Allah said, "What's that?" He said, "Before, first you cried, then you smiled, then you turned away." And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I cried because my beloved companion passed away. And I saw his sacrifice and his love for me. But then when I saw his status by Allah, that he had reached the hawd." And Abu Lubaba said, "What is the hawd?" And he said, "It is a well, a fountain, from which if a person drinks from, he will never be thirsty after the day. It is sweeter than honey and whiter than milk." And when I saw his status by Allah, I began to smile. And then I saw his wives in Jannah. They were running towards him with so much eagerness that the shins were being exposed, and I looked the other way. And then the Prophet ﷺ turned toward the Sahaba and they said, "Bring his horse and his sword." And they brought his horse and his sword. And they said, and he said, "Take this to his wife and tell her that this is his inheritance. And also inform her that Allah has given Sa'd wives in Jannah which are even more beautiful than she is." This was a man who a while ago didn't even know if he would attain Jannah. He had no status in society. But look at his status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he lived, he died for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people, and I want you all to say Ameen. May Allah, I haven't made the dua yet, hold on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all people who live for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who everybody sees our khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya. And may Allah reunite us all in Jannatul Firdaws. Subhanallah.